Well, we're back again for another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And as usual, with me in the studio is my co-host for the program, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northland Baptist Bible College. Doc, maybe you want to say a word about what being a chancellor is.
The way I said, I take chances.
I haven't heard that before.
And then they said the chancellor does whatever he wants to do. Well, we get involved. It's a blessing to be able to do a lot of one-on-one mentoring with students, and that's what we try to focus on.
I know that's been a heartbeat for years. And we've been talking here in the last number of shows about a very interesting topic, how to overcome a life-dominating sin, how to manage a sin pattern that comes in our life. And we've been focusing in on one particular pattern, the sin of anger. And you've been walking us through the story of Moses in Numbers 20, and we talked about the cause of anger and really spent some time looking at personal pain as a part of that, and then really the pressure that comes from people that we care about in our life. Then the last broadcast we were together talking about the countenance of anger, how to recognize it in our life. And maybe you can just give us a summary there and then jump us into the next issue we want to talk about here out of Numbers 20.
Well, we saw in Numbers 20 and verse 9 and following, we see that one of the ways that anger was seen was in sarcasm, cutting words, and then in self-centered response. Moses made himself the focus. And then in striking out in verse 11, where he literally smites the rock, contrary to what God's plan was. And then we mentioned silence is another way where we clam up. But internally, we're
boiling.
We're boiling, seething. That, frankly, in churches, that is where most of the anger is. And you don't see it till annual business meeting.
The boxing match, in other words.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, these hurts begin to spurt. That comes.
They just come out, don't they? They just kind of splurt out.
We want to look today at the calamity of anger. What was the result of anger in this text? And first of all, it was a diversion from God's plan. Verse 8, God says, speak to the rock. But we found that Moses in verse 11 smote the rock twice. So it was a diversion from what God intended. And when God speaks, he doesn't take lightly. You'll see the consequences of this as he goes on down the way here.
In other words, God had a way that he wanted Moses to handle this problem. And Moses chose to do it another way, similar but different.
Yes. God clearly said, this is what I want you to do. And Moses clearly chose not to.
This wasn't Moses, here's the general principle, and you figure out how to do it. There was express statement made.
Yeah, and very purposeful statement. And secondly, it destroyed God's picture. See, when you look at what followed Israel through the wilderness, by day it was a cloud.
Right.
By night it was a pillar of fire. And then
First Corinthians 10
was the rock.
Right.
And 1 Corinthians 10 very clearly points out that that rock was Christ. And you read that passage, and Christ was smitten once for all. He is now to be addressed. And it was not only a diversion from God's plan, but it destroyed God's picture. The picture of what was yet to come in the ultimate sacrifice of Christ.
Now, hadn't this kind of come up before in the history of Israel? In other words, in the wilderness, this is not the first time that Moses was getting water out of a rock.
No, the first time he'd smote the rock. At God's command.
And so that's part of this picture that you're talking about.
Christ is not to be smitten over and over and over again. He was smitten once for all, according to Hebrews 9. And that is now the privilege we have of prayer, of addressing him.
That's certainly, I mean, when you go to that 1 Corinthians passage, I mean, that really is a clear type that Paul is painting for the Corinthians about Christ being, says it right there in the text, Christ is that rock that followed them.
Yes, and it deals with a lot of other issues there, the murmuring aspect and the other things that were true about God's people during that time. But it says that rock is Christ. So it destroyed God's picture. But then it denied God's prize. This was the real hurtful thing for Moses and Aaron because they were denied the prize. God says, because you did not believe me. In verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You wouldn't have looked at this as unbelief. But this is what that was. And later you see in verse 24, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and Aaron will die. For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. So God didn't let this go, because God does not take lightly when he commands for us to just leave it up to us. What a lesson that is of pragmatism.
Oh,
did he get water? Yes, he got water. But God not only has a will, he has an end, but he also has a means whereby that end is to be achieved.
You know, it's interesting, as you're talking here, my mind is just kind of going, and maybe this is a direction we don't want to go in this morning, but let me just kind of lay this thought out on the table for you to maybe pick apart or build on. But, you know, this is not the first time that somebody got upset with either what God wanted to do or the way God wanted to do it. For example, Cain was wroth with God. He was angry with God over God's decision to take Abel's sacrifice and not his. He was angry. The scripture says he was chagrined at God. Mm-hmm. Samuel, the prophet, when God made his decision about Saul, the Bible says that Samuel cried all night against the Lord. And God had to come and say, Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? I've made my decision. David was angry with God when God smote Uzzah for touching the ark. Remember that?
Yes.
Why is it that it is so hard for us to accept what God is doing? Why is it? I mean, these are great, other than Cain, obviously, these are great men. Moses, Samuel, David. I mean, why is it that these men struggle so much with what God was doing?
In my opinion, and I'm just talking off the top of my head here, they were more focused on the end than obeying the means. David's end was getting that ark back, because that represented the presence of God.
Sure.
And what he did was use the Philistine ox cart when the men came, and Uzzah was doing, in his mind, a right thing to keep the ark from falling, but the ark should have never been
on that
ox cart. In fact, I remember years ago I preached the message, let's get the ox off the ox cart. Let's quit trying to do God's work in a Philistine way.
Hmm.
And God has his way in this. I mean, that goes back to way 68, 69, 70, somewhere back there, where I preached this against pragmatism. The idea that God has, yes, God, the end is to get the ark where it's supposed to be. But he very clearly has a means whereby that end is to be attained.
Mm-hmm.
Nadab and Abihu, it was God's will for fire to be on that altar. But Nadab and Abihu lit the fire from underneath. God's approval came from above, and lightning came, but they were wiped out.
I mean, the fire actually consumed them.
The fire consumed them.
And that's a lesson on pragmatism. I mean, pragmatism, I think you've said so many times, I've heard you say, the reason that we like pragmatism is because it works.
Right. That's an interesting play on words.
But it ends up consuming us.
Yes.
I mean, it really does, if we stop and think about that.
Yeah. And we look at how this worked. Nadab and Abihu, God wants fire on his altar, but he wants me to leave my matches home. and that is a thing that we have to keep in mind. And we see this thought again.
Yeah, here's Moses, here. and he wants water out of the rock, and he's going to get the water any way he can.
Keep in mind, the pressure he was under.
To produce.
Yeah, they're thirsty. They're screaming at him. And probably, you want water? I'll give you water. And whap. Structure, I call it, water came out. But boy, what a difference. And so it was the denial of God's price. Now, the thing we have to ask ourselves, what are we denied because of our anger? I was doing a men's conference in Pennsylvania, and a man came up to me after I preached a Friday night session on this topic. He said, I've lost two marriages because of my anger. And he said, I'm losing my third one because of my anger. I was dealing with a man who was a dentist, who his anger broke his relationship with his son. The son left the home. The son was living a lifestyle that was contrary to his desire and what would be the Lord's will. And this man was so distraught because he knew he drove his son out with his anger. He literally said, do you think that if I committed suicide, I would prove to God how sorry I am for what I did? I said, the devil's putting that thinking in your head. His loss was a child relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a job.
Yeah, we can absolutely
drive
people.
It was a job. Yeah. We can drive people and say, you know, boss calls you in and says, we don't need. Corporation says, you know, you're a great guy, but you've blown it once too many times in this realm of anger. But I think the greatest loss is our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
What is the greatest? What prize are we denied? The fact that we protected a testimony.
Because we never forget this part of Moses' life, do we?
No, we don't.
I mean, when we think of Moses, we think of a lot of things. You know, the Ten Commandments, the crossing of the Red Sea, and then this incident. Because here's a guy that didn't go in. Yeah. He really didn't go in. I mean, God did not let him in. He got to see it, right. But he really didn't go in.
When we're in heaven, and if we were still able to recall details of earth, and we went to Moses and said, Moses, I don't want to bring this up. You lived 120 years. Any regrets? If he were able to, he would probably say yes.
Turn to number 20.
You have your Bible with you, turn to Numbers 20, and you'll see, yeah, I do have a regret.
Now, it's interesting. Why did God keep Aaron out?
Because Aaron was a part of that process. And you'll see that very thing in, because where it says here, because ye rebelled against my word there in verse 24.
The reason I'm asking that, I mean, you made a comment a little earlier on in the broadcast today about that this was not the first time Moses had blown it, that he had had a problem with anger as a younger man at 40 when the killing of those Egyptians. Mm-hmm. Well, this is not the first time Aaron has had a problem. Remember when he was at, when they came out and he built that golden calf?
Yes.
And he said, the people made me. God had said don't, and he rebelled against God's word by yielding. Mm-hmm. It seems like Aaron had a little problem with peer pressure or yielding to the pressure of the people, and I'm wondering if that's tied into his part of this sin here.
No, I think it is, but you see there where God says in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not.
Sure.
So Aaron had to have been a part of that.
To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel.
In verse 10 says, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we
bring forth.
Moses didn't say, must I, but he and Aaron were teamed up. So obviously, whatever was happening there.
Consequences of anger are devastating things sometimes. I need to say a word to our listeners, and then, Doc, maybe you could close us out with a final thought. But we're so thankful for the many of you that listen to the program, and we pray that the words that are shared on broadcasts, like the one we're doing today, will be a great blessing to you and a help. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. We want to know what God is doing in your life. We do have a copy of Dr. Olola's life story, A Man Among Us, which is our offer again this month, that we'd like to make available to all of you who would be willing to send a donation of $10 in or more to help underwrite the costs of this broadcast. So many of you I know appreciate what you're getting, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you from the Word of God, a word for life. Doc, why don't you give us a closing comment or two as we wrap up this section of our discussion together on anger?
I believe it's a good warning for us to pray before we speak. Think before we speak. On the way home from work, stop in a restaurant, get coffee, and say, is my heart prepared to go home? And when we touch the doorknob, let that be our checkpoint. Am I filled with the Spirit?